Who was that group that used to bring a lot of people to Keister's?
Oh, Rantha?
That's Washington. In Yelm, Washington.
Yeah.
And she's a trans-channeler. And I didn't say very positive things about them, but what was interesting is that the channeler for them read The Immortal, and she loved it, and Ross said really good things about it. So they bought a whole bunch of our books
That's
at the time. And so I quit criticizing till they finished. But Rob claims to have overcome all things in just one life, back in Atlantis, which nobody really does, you know. And doesn't say anything really new, but says stuff that you can find pretty accessible in other books. What's impressive about her is when Ra takes over her body, she talks in a very strong accent and a different type of voice, and it really impresses people around her. He talks very strongly, you know, like that. You know. He just really barks at people and tries to just sound really powerful.
Authoritative.
Now, another book is The Keys of Enoch. Has anyone read that one?
Yes.
Hertak made the same problem. He made a bunch of predictions of stuff that was supposed to occur by the end of the millennium, and nothing occurred that he predicted.
He sure used a lot of high-tech language.
Yeah.
Tetra, hexa, hot cockpit.
Yeah, 64 keys. And I read through it, and I can't remember one of the keys. it sounds really good, and he uses a lot of, the guy's got a heck of a good scientific knowledge, and uses a word. I had to have a dictionary there to look up a lot of the words. I didn't get any new insights from it. And the 64 principles, and they sound kind of like their principle, but then if after I read it, I can't put it in my own language. Now, if you read it about a true principle, when it registers, you will then be able to put it in your own language.
I probably studied it for 2 years.
You did?
Yeah, with groups. Like, I really studied it. I never could make sense out of it.
But it was impressive, wasn't it?
It was.
It was one of those things I did not know when I first read it. I thought, well, this could be true revelation. You know, I'll do it. So I had to really spend some time with it to figure it out. But there's a handful of things like that. But the clinch on the thing is none of the predictions came true. That's the first thing I look for. When I see something with a new revelation where it sounds like everything is pretty good. Now, with the raw material, they claim to contact a group mind from a high dimension. This group mind revealed to them a bunch of things. Now, some of the stuff in there is true. So if you read something like the raw material, you need to read it under the light of your soul. If it strikes your soul as being true, then fine. Because a lot of the channel material does have bits and pieces of things that are true mixed, but filtered through some type of thought form. And the thought form distorts it. Now, not all thought forms distort, and some thought forms distort a lot more than others. Now, with the keys of Enoch, I'm wondering if the guy just conjured it up on his own just for the heck of it. And that's what I think probably happened. Because I've heard him interviewed on Coast to Coast. He's been on there quite a bit, and he never mentions the keys of Enoch. He talks about other things he's looking into, different scriptures like the Sophia scriptures and different things like this.
And the different
ones about the female energy and everything. So he's investigating and a lot of the ancient scriptures, and he's pretty good at it, but he never mentions the keys of Enoch anymore when he's interviewed. And nobody asked him about the keys of Enoch. And it kind of makes me think he just kind of created it on the lark. And somebody that did create something on the lark was Christopher Nemelka. Has anyone heard of him? Susie's heard of all these guys. What do you think of him, Susie?
He's a jerk.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, he claims to have revealed the sealed portion of the Book of Mormon, and he's got it all written. And so I thought, well, I'll check him out. And so I read part of it, and I thought, doesn't sound like the sealed portion to me. But
I think I heard a radio interview with him. He just reeked of ego.
Yeah.
You could just feel it coming to you.
Oh, yeah. He's a tremendous ego. Anyway, I got on a forum, a group forum where he was, and I asked him, I said, well, Joseph Smith had three witnesses to the Book of Mormon. Do you have witnesses to your sealed portion? And you know what he said?
I don't need them.
No? He accused me of being a Pharisee. So you're a Pharisee. And so he just started attacking me like crazy. It was amazing. I thought, I wasn't being rude or anything. I just asked him nicely. And pretty soon he was telling me I was a son of perdition and was going to hell forever. And boy, he really laid into me with everything he had. And he just really took a dislike to me.
Well, that's great that you caused him to reveal who he really was. Good job.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably not around anymore, huh?
Yeah,
he's still around. He's still trying to get things going. But I think he went to Europe for a couple of years. I think the law was after him or something.
Yeah.
So he had to escape. Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
I just know that he mistreated women severely.
No.
Yeah.
He was a real jerk.
Do you think that he got that from a thought form?
No. Matter of fact, in an interview he had.
He made it up.
He actually said he made it up as a challenge because he figured that he could write scripture good enough. As a matter of fact, several times in his life he said he was an atheist. And he said that he figured that Joseph Smith just made up the Book of Mormon. And since Joseph Smith made it up, he figured he could make up something just as credible. So he wrote the sealed portion as a challenge to his mind. A lot of people bought into it. And then after he gave this interview where he admitted it, he kind of decided he was... did that kind of with the idea that, he wasn't going to do anything else. And then he decided, he's getting these followers. And he thought, well, I got to go back and present myself as a true prophet again. Yeah. So he discounted the interview. Said, he was just saying that off the cuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And now he's presenting himself as a true prophet again, even though he's said in the past that he made it up as a mental challenge.
Oh my God.
What's his name?
Chris Nemelka.
Yeah.
Is he the only one who's written the second half of the Book of Mormon?
No.
No, there's a half a dozen sealed portions of that.
Have you ever heard of the sacred scriptures?
I've only come across one, and so I...
So the sacred scriptures, Mike Rigby put it together, and he was a publisher, and people kept dropping off manuscripts to him saying, I was given this. So there's the Book of Revelation, there's all the sayings of Jesus, there's...
I haven't come across that.
Who come across this? Who?
Mike Rigby is the one.
Mike Rigby, I read it, some of his stuff.
So I used to...
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with him. There's a guy that's a break off from the Reorganized Church that also has a sealed portion.
And a real one?
What's that?
A real sealed...
Well, no. I bought the book. I've got the book in my library. It's about that thick with it. And I haven't read a lot of it, but I read enough to not be impressed. But, so, yeah, when the... Well, the sealed portion does come forward, it's going to have a lot of competition. So anyway, these thought forms create a lot of problems. They can be used for good. Like to say, we can actually create a thought form of Christ in our meditations that Christ could use to contact us with. And that may have already happened to a degree, and it could happen to a greater degree. But we know what we're doing. We understand that it's a thought form, and that it's a thought form that brings forth things that Christ could say if he was here. We understand what's going on, unlike contacting a thought form and thinking, well, I have to believe this because that was Jesus who said it. Yeah. Manuel?
Two things. To end on a good note, on the sealed portion of things, that my friend, the historian Don Bradley, wrote that 116 pages, the last 116 pages recently.
Yeah.
Everyone's just raving about it because he had to get all these journals from the father of Joseph Smith and everything, and kind of like they talked in private about certain things about Lehi before. So he's just trying to put all the puzzle pieces together of certain aspects of the lost.
Oh, is this the book about that he tries to figure out what was in the 116 pages?
It got burned.
I think, matter of fact, I think I have a copy somewhere.
I was going to share that. And the second thing is, just yesterday, no coincidence, somebody made a group on Facebook. I'm going to join it later on tonight. That somebody who owns the scanner that my wife does, she's trying to get certain playlists to basically assist Christ consciousness. So I'm going to join it and be a little spy in there and see what they're doing. So when we meditate, maybe we can have the frequencies of the Christ consciousness sent to us at the same time.
The name Christ consciousness thought form?
So anyway, there's a lot of material out there, and DK does make the statement, he says 90% of it will not be from the hierarchy. I think 10% is an exaggerated number that is actual from the hierarchy, but it's just a small percentage. But one of the things, the clues to look for, is the hierarchy does not like to repeat themselves. Like DK gives us a book, Treatise on Cosmic Fire, got a lot of good stuff in, and it's already there, so why does the hierarchy need to go through the effort of saying the same things to somebody else? And you'll find that a lot of these people that are claim to be inspired teachers, now there's a big motivation of people saying, boy, you know, the master is speaking to me or Jesus is speaking to me. Well, why would Jesus speak to somebody? It's because they are a very special person, okay? And so they feel that this will prove to everybody how special I am because Jesus or a master or the Buddha or somebody is speaking through me because I have been selected. So that's a really big thing for the ego. And that ego trip is what motivates most of these guys to become transmitters. But that doesn't mean there aren't true ones, and aren't true ones that will appear in the future. That's why soul contact is so important. Soul contact will sort out the true from the real. So if you're reading a transmission, maybe the guy touched the truth on a couple items, and you can pick that up and put it within your brain, and then discard the rest. And other times you may pick up a work where, boy, this is solid. I'm going to study this more thoroughly. And this is what happened with me with Alice A. Bailey when I read those works. They became an earned authority with me. But still, there's a couple things that I question and don't necessarily accept whole hog, because you always have to run it by your soul, because it's entirely possible that in the transmission I want to say that Bailey didn't get it quite right. There's also a possibility that a master could make a mistake. One of the things in there, he talks about the planet Vulcan, which people thought existed around the time of LSA Bailey. But he also talked, and they haven't, nobody, the scientists have never found the planet Vulcan. It was supposed to exist within the orbit of Mercury. But he does give, he does talk about etheric planets that aren't visible to our eye, but made of a higher substance. So it's possible Vulcan is an etheric planet. And there have been a number of people who claim to have seen it, but then when scientists check it out later, they can't find it. It's a very mysterious planet. So that's one of the things that's kind of on the shelf of me with BK's teachings. So
sometimes I hear in the writings Alice Bailey coming through in some places.
Yeah, it's quite possible. So what was kind of funny was when they started up a school for a group of disciples that DK wanted to teach personally and take up to a higher level. When DK gave anything that to a disciple or to one of the participants that they didn't like, they would say, "Well, that just come from Bailey. That didn't come from the master." And Bailey says, "No, it did. It actually came from him."
Alice had to use her own language and her own terms from her British background.
Yeah, I think they started with about 50 and they wound up with only, what, about 6 or so that really was there at the end. Most of them fell away before they were done. Yeah, Cindy.
Well, I just have a problem
with Vulcan not being a real planet, because DK or possibly Alice, but I doubt it was Alice, went into such extravagant detail about Vulcan,
yeah,
and how it's the esoteric ruler of the sign Taurus, so
yeah,
it's the sole ruler of Taurus,
yeah,
and the sun and the moon at times, in certain cases, veil Vulcan, and he goes a lot into that. So he puts somebody
yeah,
in a lot of stock in Vulcan.
If and when DK speaks again through anybody, that's I'm going to try to get that question in.
Yeah.
Tell us the truth about Vulcan. Is it real?
In the Theosophical writings, they show a lot of planets that are not physical.
Yeah, and there's several things where he said about Vulcan that kind of indicated it could be etheric.
Yes. Yeah.
And another place he said it represents the sun, he said.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
close?
I don't know. It's one of those things that needs clarification next time he speaks. Yeah. Okay, anything else before we close? Any other
thing
that you're impressed with?
On that note, I don't know anything about the planet Vulcan, but here's something to consider. I showed a quick clip of this, a YouTube clip, and it's called Vibrovision, and it's a outfit in Salt Lake City, and they teach people how to see without using their eyes.
Yeah, you told
and
us
it
that.
It sounds bizarre, but they teach people who can see how to see without their eyes. They teach blind people who've been blind from birth how to see. There's hundreds of YouTube videos about it, but there's places in other countries. This is happening, and a lot of people are doing it. It's not just one person. And
what's it called?
Vibrovision.
Vibra?
Yeah, but they teach it, and then you see these. They said the children pick it up the fastest. Okay, but they put on these memory foam goggles. They put Band-Aids over their eyes, the shape of the eyes, and then memory foam. And they are doing all. They're going through obstacle courses. They're shooting these Nerf guns. It's amazing. But that's one thing. And the other thing is that the spectral vision that of light is the equivalent of 88 piano keyboards, and we can only see one key on one keyboard. But there are the equivalent of 88 piano keyboards of light. And just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. But I don't know anything. I'm not saying I know anything about the planet Vulcan, but I'm saying just because we don't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, but if it's red, we can't see red, infrared.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take a break and come back for our final session, which will be, we'll do some type of meditation here.